Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On Monday next, Donald Trump will become the first US president since the 1890s to be sworn in for a second non-consecutive term. But how will history judge the man who beat him in 2020 before dropping out of the 2024 race, Joe Biden? Well, for his assessment, I'm joined now from Washington, D.C. by BBC North America correspondent Anthony Zurcher. Anthony, you're very welcome to the programme and thank you for being with us today. Let's start in 2020, because when Biden came to office then, he promised to turn the corner on the chaos of Trump, which he says was exacerbated by COVID. So where was he in that moment and how high were hopes around him?
Well, I think if you remember, Democrats around the country celebrated when Joe Biden was confirmed to be the next president of the United States, that he had won the election. It took a week after election day, give or take, before that announcement was made, and Democrats were in the streets celebrating, honking horns. There was a feeling of relief, certainly among half the country that didn't really like Donald Trump, that the Trump era had finally ended. Now, Donald Trump disputed those elections and continued to do so up until January 6th, when there was the attack on the Capitol by Donald Trump supporters. So all of this chaos, plus the COVID pandemic, it felt like Joe Biden was going to return the country to a more normal time, a more calm time, a more peaceful time. So hopes were high. Hopes were high that Trumpism wasn't the wave of the future, but it was just a four-year accident of history that was going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm. And anyone who is elected, or any government who goes in straight after an election, they have the benefit of momentum, don't they, behind them, which Joe Biden would have had at that time. Did he capitalize on it? Because he did manage to get some key pieces of legislation through.
Yeah, Joe Biden came in as president with Democrats still controlling the House of Representatives, and by the most narrow of margins, they also took control of the United States Senate. So the Democrats had a legislative majority. They had the presidency, and that gave them the opportunity to enact more of their legislation without necessarily having to cooperate with Republicans. And they did. They proved to be fairly effective early on. They passed a pandemic response and aid package just a few months into Joe Biden's presidential term. That increased social spending. It actually cut the child poverty rate in half with some child tax subsidies, tax credits. It increased investments in health insurance and healthcare, government-run healthcare. Then later on that year in 2021, they passed a bipartisan Infrastructure Investment Act that spent billions of dollars on roads and water and green energy and other infrastructure projects. It's been something that politicians, both Republicans and Democrats, had wanted for decades. There hadn't been this kind of level of infrastructure investment in a very long time. They also passed a bipartisan bill that increased investment in domestic semiconductor manufacturing, which was something that a lot of people across the political spectrum thought was important, to move chip manufacturing back to the United States from places like Taiwan. And then Democrats by themselves also passed a spending package that increased investment in environment and in switching from carbon fuels to electricity and to renewable sources of power. And so the legislative achievements in those first 2 years of Joe Biden's presidency, I think, compare positively with just about any modern president. It wasn't until Joe Biden and the Democrats lost control of the House of Representatives in the 2022, November 2022 elections going into 2023, that all of that kind of came grinding to a halt.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, though, that those infrastructure projects, while welcomed across the spectrum politically, they didn't translate into votes, you know, because people can't immediately see a change in their quality of life on foot of those massive investments. Was that something that the Democrats and Joe Biden and the people around him overlooked at that time?
I think they hoped that voters, even if they didn't feel the immediate effects of all of this investment, that they would understand that that help was on the way, and that it, perhaps that the benefits would start being felt more quickly. I also think that Joe Biden was thinking a little more longer term than maybe he should have, given the political realities. I also think that Democrats and the Biden administration underestimated how bad the economy was going to get. And by bad, I mean the economy actually was doing good, but by how bad the Americans would feel the economy was doing because of one key factor, and that was the fact that inflation starting, within the first year of Joe Biden's presidential term, inflation spiked up to records, to heights not seen since the 1980s. And that really did affect how Americans view the economy. And so not getting that kind of economic aid quickly or more quickly through Biden's programs, I think that had more of a sting because the American consumers were feeling like their money wasn't going as far as it used to, and that they were struggling to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. And then on the foreign policy front, we have a couple of issues which we'll talk about, which were outside of Joe Biden's control. But the evacuation of Afghanistan was a disaster, wasn't it? That was in 2021.
Yes, that was August of 2021. And it was a chaotic withdrawal. And that was something that was within Joe Biden's control. Now, Donald Trump had made arrangements for the United States to pull out of Afghanistan while he was still president. So the ball was rolling towards that. But it was something that Joe Biden actually agreed with. He had been an opponent, a critic of the United States' two-decade-long involvement in Afghanistan, even when he was vice president under Barack Obama. And he felt like this was something that the United States had to do. They had to cut the cord and finally withdraw from that country. The way it all played out, of course, was not what Joe Biden had hoped for. Although there were predictions from military officials and other foreign policy experts that the Afghanistan government would have trouble standing up after the United States withdrew, I don't think the Biden administration understood how quickly things would fall apart, that the Taliban would very quickly take control of the entire country, that the defense forces that the United States had spent hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars training and equipping would evaporate in a matter of days, that the government would collapse in a matter of days. And those last few days where the United States was evacuating its own people and people who supported it from the airport in Kabul, it became a giant mess that ended up with a bombing attack that killed more than 100 Afghanis and about a dozen American soldiers.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Russia's decision to go into Ukraine, the situation developing in Gaza outside of Joe Biden's control. But do you think there are issues there around how his administration dealt with both of those situations that led to his ratings falling even further in the polls?
Yeah, I think that the Ukraine response, particularly early on, had broad public support, that the American public viewed the Russian invasion of Ukraine as a breach of international law, as an abuse of power, and that they supported the United States, what the United States was trying to do there. And the Biden administration did a very effective job of building a coalition of Western nations, not only to diplomatically oppose the invasion, but to economically impose it as well, and to introduce a broad range of sanctions on Russia. Now, the invasion, the U.S. Support of Ukraine, and the amount of money that it was spending, more than $100 billion to support Ukraine, that became a partisan issue later, and it became divided later. And that may be something that was out of Joe Biden's control. It certainly was a challenge for him. But on the flip side, what happened with Gaza and Joe Biden's full-throated support of the Israeli government after the October 7th attacks, that very quickly turned into an issue that wasn't just partisan, but it divided Joe Biden's own Democratic Party. There was a very strong constituency within the Democratic Party that supported Palestinian rights and they viewed as a plight of the Palestinians over Israel and viewed after the initial shock of the October 7th tragedy, the October 7th attack, viewed what Israel was doing in response to that, and the invasion of Gaza as a massive human rights violation, atrocities that the United States shouldn't have just nodded and gone along and supported Israel through, that the United States and the Biden administration should have done something differently. And that cut a a wound in the Democratic coalition going into the 2024 presidential elections, and really did damage Joe Biden.
Yeah, and his, I mean, you brought us to the 2024 election. I mean, his decision to run again, you know, leaving as he did very, very late in the day with limited time to select a new candidate and for that candidate to prepare then to go up against Donald Trump. Was that his biggest failing?
I think it's going to be viewed that way now. And it's going to be viewed that way because the Democrats lost. Kamala Harris, his handpicked successor, while she ran a competent campaign, she lost to Donald Trump. So everything that Joe Biden worked for, everything that he tried to do, which was move the United States past the Trump presidency to show that the Trump presidency was an aberration and something that was in the rearview mirror, all of that fell away when Donald Trump came back and won the presidency. So I think his decision to run for re-election when clearly he had challenges being up for a full and robust campaign against Donald Trump, I think that is going to be viewed as his fundamental flaw, his fundamental mistake. Now, you have to remember, presidents always wanted to have re-election. It's very hard to give up the reins of power, and it was very hard for Joe Biden to do that as well. But now, in hindsight, given the way that campaign was conducted, and given the way he conducted himself in the one presidential debate with Donald Trump, where he was at times incoherent. I mean, that destroyed his campaign. That will be something that when Joe Biden's political epitaphs are being written, and they're being written right now, that is something that is going to be very high up there in a mistake he made that cost not only his legacy, but the Democratic Party writ large very dearly.
Yeah, but I'm sure the Democratic Party are asking themselves questions about this, but are they asking hard enough questions around, you know, his ratings before that campaign started and whether it was wise not to have a selection convention going into that campaign? You know, whether they should have addressed the problem with a president who was trailing very badly when it comes to his own popularity, to accept his decision to go ahead and the tight circle of very loyal people who were around him. Do you get the sense that there are enough questions being asked about that whole process?
I think certainly there's a lot of frustration, a lot of second guessing. You have to remember, though, it is very, very hard to get an incumbent president to unseat an incumbent president from within your own party. They have all of the levers of power within the party. They have all of the officials who are loyal to them. The only way to really get an incumbent president to step aside is for them to make that decision, or for the pressure to be so enormous and it's so clear that they're going to lose that they face up to reality, which is what ultimately happened with Biden. But if you go back to 2022 and 2023, yes, Joe Biden looked like he was losing a step left. Yes, it looked like he was getting older and slower. But the Democrats had actually just overperformed in the 2022 midterm congressional elections, which showed in their view that they could win elections and that they might have had an upper hand against Republicans. Mm-hmm. You know, they did feel like Donald Trump, while he was coming back with the Republicans, had some serious flaws that they could exploit. And Joe Biden, when he was looking at the polls, and Democrats, even when they looked at the polls at the time, while Joe Biden's approval ratings were not in a great place, they were in the low 40s positive approval, the head-to-head showed a close contest. So at the time, it would have been just very, very difficult to get Joe Biden, if he didn't want to step aside. Now, obviously, in hindsight, with everything that happened, there are Democrats who wish they could have had an open primary, wish they had done more to pressure Joe Biden. But if they, you know, grappling with exactly how they could go about doing that, that's another question that I don't think they truly are facing, and I don't think they have any good answers to.
Yeah, well, these things always look very different in the moment, you know, when we look back with hindsight, we come up with different answers and different processes that might have been put in place. Anthony, thank you so much for being with us today on the programme. Anthony Zurcher is BBC North America correspondent.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.